Good morning and welcome back to Fan Affliction. My name's Aisha and this is
Jojo.
We're two fans afflicted with Dramione, among other things, and we thought we'd come back today to give you the next chapter of
When the Bell Tolls, the story that we started off with at the beginning of the podcast. So yeah, we're returning. Because, you know, when we first read it, we didn't think it was, like, a great time for it. We wanted something a bit more lighthearted because of the pandemic. But now things are, you know, a bit better, at least where we are. You know, maybe it's time to get back to it. And some people have expressed an interest in it. So I think it's time, I suppose. What do you think?
It is time. Well, we're going to give it a go. I don't know if you can tell, we're both feeling a little bit hesitant.
Yes, apprehensive.
Yes, because I don't know if everybody heard this on the last episode, because I think some of our like comments at the end got cut off and re-recorded.
Yes, the audio wasn't great, yeah.
But it was a little bit traumatizing, because there were about 10 to 15 pages of just being on the sea.
And we being
thought,
in a boat.
We thought that they'd escaped Azkaban, and it turned out that they were still in Azkaban. And then there was a lot of talk about socks.
Yes.
And
oh,
changing
my God.
Socks. And we both got a bit tired of it. But here we are. And we're hoping that things will pick up now.
Yes.
Really
we
hoping.
Are.
But we make no promises as to the continuation of this.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. So we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah. Should we give like a little recap? Can you like remember where we were?
Sure. So let's have
or at least try to give a recap.
So I think we started off in chapter two with them deciding that Draco is going to work for the ministry to help fight the new dark rising.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's think. They were at a restaurant. We met Harry Potter very briefly and Neville.
Yes, and Neville was there, yeah.
Classic. And then Draco signs his contract. They stage a breakout of Amsterdam. God, my brain.
That's you breaking out of Amsterdam.
The wine hangover.
Yeah. Aisha had a big one last night.
Pretty big one, but we're feeling good. I mean, I woke up at 6 a.m, put my laundry in the washing machine and went back to bed. So
what a weird thing to do at 6 a.m.
I think though that this is how adults function, because whenever I drink wine, I do wake up the next day really early. Then I was like, this makes sense. If parents have like a good amount of wine the night before, that's how they're operating at like 7 on a Saturday morning.
Mm, true.
They just don't go back to bed.
Well, it's because you can't sleep very well when you've had a drink, isn't it? Like, I never sleep very well if I've had a drink.
Not at all. I always just wake up and have to chug about a litre of water.
It's awful, isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
Why do any of us do it?
Because it tastes so good.
Anyway, yes, so... and we were... They staged a little breakout of Azkaban. And yeah, and it took a long time for them to get to like, God, did they go to this like little shack?
Yeah, they hopped in a boat,
went with
to
some guy.
Kind of island.
Yeah.
Or shack thing. And then it was a bit abandoned, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Hermione basically told Draco that he has to go into a village where I guess, is it that the shop owner was a little bit suspicious and they think that he's covering for some dark rising activity.
Yes, I believe so.
And then they made Draco wash himself and then roll around in the dirt so he looked like he broke out of prison.
Oh my Jesus Christ, I forgot about that.
It just made no sense, but
Thursday. Then he was like, what about my socks or something? And it was like, you gotta take your socks off. You gotta put mud in your socks. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, and then there was also that bit where he was like, how am I gonna pay for anything? And did she give him like, was it like a stop? She gave him some kind of like heirloomy type of thing so that he could trade it for money. I might be lying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And that's where we were.
Yes.
So I guess sorry now... for that recap.
Oh, that was a bad... God, we are both like tired. yeah, so I guess now going forward we'll be going following Draco. Well, I don't know if we'll be following Draco, but Jake will be going into the shop.
Exciting. Jojo's reading today, so her voice is all moved up and ready. You can hear just how excited she is.
No, it's all right. We're going to give it a good go. The thing is, like, I just want to make it... Oh, God, isn't that what you should say? Oh, my God. thing is, it's not that I don't like the story, because I do. It's just it's very long chapters, and we're still not quite sure whether the relationship between like this story and like a podcasting format works. So that's why we're kind of a bit apprehensive.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So just being up front with you guys, but
and
we know.
Also, like, we started off with the fallout. I mean, like, privately, like, we read that kind of on our own, and that is phenomenal. And the pacing is brilliant.
That's also by Every Thursday Sage.
Yeah. So this is another one of their books, and so I don't know whether this was written before, and that's why it's perhaps a little bit clunkier. I don't know if that's fair to say, I feel like this is a little bit less streamlined.
Yes, no, I agree. I think that's fair to say.
Although the Reddit people love this story. So.
Yes, true. Well, the thing is, the fallout, the pacing was different because it was like almost like short chunks. So it'd be like day one, blah, 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 blah. Whereas this is quite continuous.
She does kind of do that in all of her books, as far as I'm aware. Like,
this is June 7th. Yeah, good point.
But then with this one, I don't know, like, there's just a lot of description. But then the fallout also takes place like during the war. So I guess it makes more sense to just be like end of a battle scene in the shack, you know, traveling. So we'll see. Fingers crossed, guys. Fingers crossed. And also, I have seen a spoiler on Reddit and have shared it with JoJo. So there is quite a cool twist in this story. Hopefully we have enough stamina to get there. But if the pacing is bad, I don't think it's going to happen. But we'll see.
Yeah. We're just being completely open and honest.
Yeah, sorry because, for that downer, guys.
Because this podcast isn't really about, like, let's be honest, it's not like a serious business. This is just us reading.
No,
so it's just like
just
very
our
chill
fun time.
Yes.
On a Saturday morning, or sometimes not a Saturday. It really depends.
Yes, it is a Saturday morning today, though.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready, JoJo?
Yes, I am. Okay, I am. So, do you know what the last date was that we were in? Because.
I'll
every
have a
Thursday
scroll back for you.
Yes, please.
Oh my god, June 4th at 9:08 p.m.
Okay, so this is June 7th, 9:41 p.m. So it's the evening.
Ooh.
Right, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Are you comfortable? Have you got a drink?
I do. I hope you've got a drink for your throat.
Jesus,
last time I was rasping for air.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right, let's do this. So June 7th, 9:41 p.m. Ding, ding, ding. The article was printed last night. They know you escaped and that you killed a man under your own polyjuice to try to stop people from looking for you. That's going to get attention itself. Ding, 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 ding. Malfoy remains still at the front of the boat. Oh, they're still in the... The
fucking hell, guys.
It's like 4 days later.
Get a different vehicle. Maybe they're on an island. Okay. I just don't understand why they aren't apparating.
I thought
they're past the wards.
Malfoy remained still at the front of the boat where she put him in this time. His robe blackened the fog and muted moonlight. The hood pulled to shadow his face. Ding, ding, ding.
That bell really be tolling.
Damn, this bell is tolling. Tonight you'll go to Lynch and ask for an endless robe. Ding. An endless robe. Dry amongst all the wetness around them, in the sea and the air and her breath. She looks out at the water, but he is still the darkness in her peripheral. Endless robe is a rumour we started amongst the underground. It's an amulet that changes a person's appearance, is undetectable and unchangeable by outside magic. And only available at Lynch. They have this device? Ding, ding, fucking ding. The boat hits the shore with a jolt, and though she had seen it approaching, she still jumps from the bench. The lantern swings to reveal Malfoy's harder grip on the edge of a seat, and she steadies herself as she motions for him to move. No, to get it isn't the point. She takes the lantern from the hook, and she follows after him off the edge of the boat. The water colder than it should be for June. He heads to the shore and she curves with her steps back as she drags the boat, keeping sight of him.
I didn't understand that sentence.
No, I'll do it again.
No, you read it fine. Just I can't picture someone curving
She curves with her steps back as she drags the boat. Me neither. She hurries so he's not watching her and moving in the dark before she arrives. But he walks too quickly. A part of her thinks he does it on purpose, and she feels angry, but it makes her pull harder. Calm down, James.
Jojo's so not into this. They like take a breath and she's like, fuck you. Literally, how dare
he's
you?
Like, she literally is like, he's like, he walks too quickly. She feels angry.
Although I have that with a few people at work.
We did speak about this the other day, didn't we? Like, even someone just breathes around you, you're like, could you just fuck off?
Yeah. Or when they pick up a pen, you're like, yeah. Who picks up pens like that?
Loser. Yeah. You believe they'll approach me tonight.
Ding, ding, ding. Well done to Draco. Smart people up in here.
She barely pauses in wrapping the rope around the post. Her fingers cold and chafed as she glances up at his bare feet. Oh my god.
Not again.
They'll have little doubt to who you are, especially when they'll have kept track of what you bought. She hesitates, but changes her mind on telling him it was smart to buy a blue robe with distinctive black lining. He must have known. What? Why is this? Are we dumb?
No, I just don't think that we don't. That just makes me think of Beauxbatons, but that was just all blue.
What's Beauxbaton?
You know, Beauxbatons, the Vilas.
Sorry. I've literally never heard anyone say it before. I've only read it.
Beauxbatons.
Beauxbatons.
Maybe he's... Have you ever read... Sorry, just a tangent. Have you ever read a fanfiction where Draco's a feeler?
Yes, yeah.
So good! And Harry's, like, his mate or whatever the fuck.
No! I haven't read much Drarry. You know I haven't.
Oh, yeah, but Draco being a feeler is just too good.
I've read some good Hermione ones where he's a feeler.
Ooh.
Not loads. I've read one really good one and the rest are kind of mediocre.
Okay, you'll have to send it through.
I think it's... Oh, God, yeah, I'll send it through. Can't remember who it is. We don't know how they'll approach you or who will. Be prepared for anything. She watches his form bob in the shifting light of the lantern. Trees hanging like frozen shadows reaching for them. Are you ready for... Yes. Okay. June 18th.
Your piece is snarky.
I'm sorry. Right, it's I'm going to stop.
You can carry on. I'm very entertaining.
But yeah, I'm going to stop. I'll be good. So, June 8th, 4:14 a.m. So it's very early, guys. Hermione checks her watch, then turns the pace back the other way, tapping her wand against her side. All of her things except for one are packed into her bag, and a portkey is wrapped in a cloth inside of her pocket, just in case Malfoy comes back with people. The map is on the table, a blue dot signalling that Malfoy is still at Lynch. All he has to do to activate his portkey is twist the pendant 3 times over the back clasp of the necklace. Unless they chained him to something before he could. Perhaps they grossly underestimated the group working out of Lynch, and they cut off his fingers or killed him in revenge. Maybe they're holding him until someone important comes. She had told him to be back by 4 a.m. unless it's absolutely necessary to stay. It's now 4:15, and they can't travel back to Azkaban any later than 5. Maybe he's waiting for her to come. Maybe he's cursing her in his head right now and thinking how everything he ever thought is right and that they never really had any plan to save him. Maybe he's conspiring, telling them all the details of the ministry plan and will walk through the door as a double spy. Maybe he will come back with people and kill her. Maybe he will hold her until the ministry gives him what he wants. Maybe... Hermione jumps at the sound of apparition outside.
Yes, apparition! No more boat!
Thank Woo! God. She's Hermione hears the slow creak of a boat coming towards her. Yeah, it's, no. it's not as scary, is it?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding. She snatches the map from the table and flies around the corner of the kitchen and into the living room. The floor bends under her foot in the section she stops in, the floorboard creaking, and she shuts her eyes as she holds her breath. Silent. The creak of the door, the rustle over leaves, the click shut, footsteps over a protesting floor. This floor's getting a lot of airtime, eh? Her chest is...
Perhaps Moaning Myrtle's under there somewhere. Maybe. You never know.
Her chest is burning for oxygen by the time he knocks twice on the wall, signalling that it's him and they're alone.
She really is so touchy. Like, she is. She's really, like, traumatised, eh?
Yeah. She pulls in a breath softly despite wanting to gulp it down, and her hand tightens on her wand before she spins around the corner. It's only him, and her heart pounds harder as his wand automatically raises when he finds himself staring down the point of hers. She pauses for a second after the first spell, 100 curses roaring over the back of her tongue before he drops his wand, and then she continues. His whole stance is stiff, his eyebrows slightly furrowed as he burrows holes in her head with his eyes. He should be used to this now, though. She'd done it after the first night, and after he'd gone out for supplies the second time. There's no trace of any tracking spells or sources of magic she doesn't know about. What happened? It's a small group, 13 of them. No younger than 16, no older than 23. You met them? I did.
No shit, I thought he was infiltrating.
That's the point, though. You did your job? I did.
Whoa.
Go in the loo, get changed. She ushers at the door and makes more demanding hand gestures when he scowls at her. Were they accepting of you? He takes his time to start walking, as if they have all night, and she gets the urge to shove him just to make him quicker. She steps back and around as he circles past her, both of them looking at one another, and for a second, she feels as if they're about to duel.
Do you know what it is, I think, with this story? Is I've become so used to reading Jermione where they kind of get over this hate ship quickly.
Yes.
That, like,
that's kind of what we're into.
Yeah, just the bits where they're like, oh yeah, lol, you're enemies. Love you.
Yeah.
This feels like, yeah.
Tense. A step back.
Yeah, and long. But I get it. I get it. This is fair. It's just a different AU. It's fine.
Exactly. None of them are Death Eaters. The door shuts behind him and she shifts on her feet. She folds the map 4 times, then pushes it into her pocket, listening to clothes rustle behind the door. That doesn't answer the question. A pause of sound and movement. They're kids who wish they'd been Death Eaters.
Oof.
Jesus. The clothes start moving again. Meeting someone who actually was is an honour to them, regardless of anything else. The article was enough to erase doubts. His voice drops as if he's muttering to himself, but she can still make out the words. If they were Death Eaters, they'd want a lot more than fucking story time. Hermione nods, remembering to write this down when she has the chance.
She hasn't got a quill going. Wild. Yeah,
come on, that's very un-Hermione.
Yeah.
Do you believe they have any connection with a higher group or person, or any part of the real revival? I can't tell yet. Do they seem committed enough to be accepted into the revival if they are found? Mostly, thus far, they're all obsessed. Believing and doing are 2 different things.
Yeah, true.
She pauses a moment after the movements on the other side of the door do, and she awkwardly realises the implications of her sentence. She'd like to say something like, but the doing is the important thing. But he did a little too much for the dark, and a little too much for the light by not doing enough for the dark.
Hi, Karina. Hermione. These sentences. I thought she's supposed to be articulate. Do you know what I mean, though?
Yes, I do. I feel like I'm reading sentences and going, did I just say that wrong?
Yeah. Oh, can you hear that, by the way?
What was that?
I think someone's drilling
into your room.
Good lord, it's outside.
Damn.
Oh my god, it's probably my dad doing something. God, Khan.
Get out of here, Khan. You're embarrassing us.
How many times must we fix the ring?
The ring? Well, the one ring to rule them all. What?
The doorbell.
Oh, the ring doorbell. I don't really know what I thought.
Gollum could be out there for all we know.
It's Gollum doing the drilling.
My precious.
Oh.
Wow.
Right, so.
That was dry. I'm going to cut that out.
No, don't cut it. So yeah, fuck Draco is what Hermione's thinking. Malfoy believed just enough into just enough to land himself in prison. No matter, I can't feel sorry, this paragraph is good. Malfoy believed just enough and did just enough to land himself in prison, no matter what changed in his beliefs or what wasn't done that could have
Fucking hell. Okay, can we just rephrase that? Malfoy did too much for the dark side and it landed him in prison. And it doesn't matter what he might have thought because he did the bad stuff. There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Well, that was true art.
That is art. Just, that was a
just
skill.
Call me a writer.
You can tell that she's like, she writes a lot. She's written many like academic articles. She imagines there are a lot of things he's thinking to say as well, but he says nothing when the door opens. She's a little surprised to find him holding the wand out this time, when he made her wait and swell with paranoia in the past, but he still looks as reluctant to let her go. Come on, she says, pocketing the wand. I'll conduct the interview at Azkaban. 9:59 p.m. Can I just say, these times are never like, I love how it's always like not, it's not just like 10 or 10:30. It's like,
no, because nothing happens on the hour. It's like, that would be outrageous.
11 minutes past 4 with 20 seconds left to go before 4:12. I can't remember what I said.
But like, also, do you not feel like that's the way that people talk about birthdays?
Oh, you mean like, I was born at
9:17 p.m.
I'm literally like cool. I'm like, I was born 7 minutes past midnight.
Me too.
And no one cares.
Like, yeah, I'm like, does that matter? Literally maybe for no your birth cares. Chart.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, true. What, like your astrological stuff?
Yeah, but then would a few minutes really make any difference?
What's your star sign?
I'm a Leo.
Yeah. I'm a Virgo. 9:59 p.m. Malfoy emerges in black trousers and a black short sleeve shirt. Hermione assumes he's putting the dark mark on display on purpose, which is good, considering what he said this morning. It's all scarred skin and faded black, but it still sticks out brightly on the pale expanse of his forearm.
Why do I find that attractive? Please.
Well, I can see that. It was like a tattoo on an arm. Yeah. You know, that's quite attractive.
Also, hurrah, he's already not on a boat.
Oh, it's looking up.
Yeah.
Really?
Things are coming up, Milhouse.
Oh my god.
I'm going to get that as a tramp stamp. Swear to god.
She glances up. Oh my god. She glances up at him, finding him watching her, and clicks her briefcase open. You should rise as their leader pretty quickly. She tightens at the squeak of a floorboard, but another doesn't follow. The older ones will resist, but not for long. Will they want to test your loyalty? No. She waits, but he doesn't continue. How will you get them to stop resisting without making them angry towards you? I will.
Draco, enough with the monosyllables.
She blinks
monosyllabics.
Once.
Monosyllabics.
Yeah. She blinks once and looks over at him, turning to face him fully. I asked, how? Is glaze. I'm thinking about pottery.
It could be a glaze.
Mm. His glaze flickers over her face. Tasty. His gaze flickers over her face and shoulders. His gaze. Sorry, do you know what I was just thinking of that made me trip up? Did you see that video of that couple in America trying to record a commercial about pie?
No.
And the director's like, okay, the line is, with a buttery, flaky crust. And the old guy can't say it. He's like, with a buttery, flavoured crust. And then, like, the wife's like, Dad! Flaky! I'll send you the video.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. That was so specific.
I was watching it this morning. His gaze flickers over her face and shoulders. If I'm meant to be good enough to do this without you there, you're not meant to question my every decision. I... Don't imagine that you can tell me what I'm meant for, Malfoy. Now tell me how. He looks as if he'd tried to explain this to her a dozen times, then only explains it again in the hopes that she might remember it this time. If I act as if I trust them more, recommending they take the larger parts of the plans, it will make them feel safer with me with having me as a leader. They'll feel like they have more because they're in a position where most of the group lives up to them, but also one of privilege for being preferred by me. Hermione stares at him. They're going to have to be careful in making sure this all doesn't go to his head. They can't risk him turning on them when he's in deep. He might have been cleared psychologically for the assignment, but anyone could regress when surrounded by it. How they're going to be careful is another matter.
Do you know what it is? It's too much internal monologuing.
It's too much. It is too much, yeah. Also, side note, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to like have cut out so much from this.
Oh, it's fine. But this is kind of like with the From Blood and Ash thing. You know, when I was really struggling with the first book, because for the first 20 chapters, it is just the protagonist's view only. and she keeps saying the same things to herself.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's kind of how we work as humans. Mm. But it's not very fun to read.
No, I agree.
And people keep feeding this back about the newest book, but it's not out in the UK yet, so I can't get my hands on it. But apparently it's a lot of this kind of, like, internal monologue of them being, like, you know, like, Hermione here is basically just, like, he's a fully piece of shit. Man, I hope he doesn't backstab me. And it's
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, we get it.
We do. You're paranoid, B. Fair play.
No, that's okay. That's fine. Just, like,
don't tell us. We get it.
What's the plan? At a glance, he appears smug with her lack of ability to say anything against his method. But then he is blank. And she's not sure it was ever there at all. We planted some information with an informant. An informant? The ministry is spider webs throughout the underground circuits. Undercover auras and hit wizards. Petty criminals with a mutual beneficial relationship. We have yet to infiltrate the higher circles, but... A corner of Malfoy's mouth draws up in a faint sneer, and his expression hardens. How is it that you define a mutually beneficial relationship with petty criminals? Hermione sniffs. It shouldn't surprise you that you aren't at liberty to know. They inform you of things, and in return, the ministry turns its head from, all you need to know, she says more loudly, is that it's secure. And a boy in the group, Garson, overheard that. You say it's secure, and yet nothing you've said. I think you're forgetting that it isn't just your assignment. The informant couldn't reveal anything, even if he wanted to. And he works for boy, which, she waves her hand. Trust me when I tell you, it's pointless to question our approach. Your exposure will never come from us, whether it be a spy, a slip in conversation, or a bad choice. Yes, he drawls. The ministry is infallible. Yes, he drawls. The ministry is infallible. She glares, pulling a pile of parchment from her briefcase. Garson thinks that certain devices are being transported to the ministry, and that they are meant to show how muggles...
I mean, they are all
well, there we go.
Bloody mudbloods.
They're meant to show how muggles live their lives and promote understanding in our world. She pauses. That would be the wizarding world. In Kate, despite your obvious lack of intelligence and not thinking so, I am able to process and understand words. Or perhaps, yes, well, words can be understood quite differently through various scopes of perception and belief.
Christ, Hermione, fuck off!
She raises her eyebrows and there's a short press of his mouth before he ignores altogether. What are they? The devices. In case you had trouble understanding that through your... or almost ignores it. VCRs. They play films. Absolutely no recognition. It's another move by the ministry to spread propaganda and allow the muggles and mudbloods to infest the wizarding world. It's rubbish. And when they tell you so, you're going to suggest something is done about it. This is going to put you in the leadership position and have you know all that they know. And this, Hermione spreads out the map on a table and dips her quill, this is how you're going to do it. June 19th.
She's very morally grey, isn't she? Sorry.
No, I got that date wrong anyway. No, she is. She's a funny character in this. It's a funny Hermione.
I can't imagine her being okay with, like, having plants and, like, this level of espionage. But then, like, maybe it's just a comment on, like, how, I guess, real government jobs kind of do work and the paper maybe. Pushing and the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very, like... I don't know. I've never read a version of Hermione that I didn't like, but I'm not loving her in this.
No. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll grow to love her.
Yes, hopefully.
June 9th, 8:13 a.m. Shipment to ministry stolen, vandalised. Early this morning, a shipment of muggle objects bought by the ministry were destroyed at the London Owl Post. The vandals dismantled the building's wards, broke the locks, and shattered hundreds of galleons worth of objects. Was this the crime of bored hooligans? An attack on a ministry? Or a violent protest against ministry attempts to promote understanding of the muggle world? Carl Thippersnap, a worker at the London Owl Post for 66 years, found damage when opening the post this morning. I've never seen anything like it. A decade ago, someone released all of our owls into the city. But this here was anger. The door was completely off, and the floor was... How's the assignment going? She would have startled at the sudden voice, but he had the presence of mind to owl her that he'd be over this morning.
Surely.
And his footsteps had been louder than necessary down her hallway. He moves around her kitchen as easily as if it were his own. collecting everything he'll need for his tea. Better than my worst case scenario, she answers, though if she was really honest, it's a lot better than a lot of her scenarios so far. So no one has died. Always a positive. Most of the time, Harry mutters from somewhere in Odette's fur refrigerator. Mal, no treacle tart. Hermione, your refrigerator is emptier than mine but was before I moved in with Ginny. Quieter, more accusingly, he says, and you always used to make me shop when you saw it. Perhaps you should eat an actual breakfast for breakfast. I have some bread, eggs. You just had treacle tart in here a few days ago. A few days ago, which was really over a week ago. It was bad. I tossed it in the rubbish bin. She could almost feel the look aimed at the back of her head. Did you want me to drop it off at your flat so you could throw it away instead? Yeah, actually. She smiles, tossing the newspaper down to the table. I'll do that next time, then. He settles for the bread, looking at it as if he had travelled to the edge of the world for treacle tart, only to be forced into accepting something far less desirable, no matter the injustice. Are those the pyjamas I got you for Christmas? Yes. Why? They aren't moving. Because whenever the books started flying around, that pepper would attack my legs. It's not funny. A little. He grins at her until she's forced to hide the answering twitch of her lips, and he pushes the door of the fridge shut with his bum as he uncaps the marmalade. It's a little funny.
With his bum?
You know, when you kind of nudge it with your hip.
Yeah, I know. But I'm thinking of someone like squatting down in a ski position and being like, poof!
Bush. June 10th, 10:02 p.m. Hermione glances at her watch, and Malfoy continues tapping silently on the edge of the table. The table and chairs have been cleared of most of the dust and dirt, but she still has a feeling that her trousers are going to be smudged with it on the backside when she stands. Malfoy would just have to leave his robe on, or bother with questions over why his bum is dirty, because she's certainly not going to cast a cleaning charm on him. You sure they said to me so at midnight? You're sure they said to meet up at midnight? I told them to meet up then, since half of them wanted to go to a Quidditch event. And you didn't feel it was important to show some authority in telling them not to go? The match ends at 11. So you chose to appear careless, or otherwise too busy for them, by having the meeting an hour after. He goes from bored to annoyed. I'm the Death Eater. They're a bunch of upstarts. While the plan involves them, it wouldn't do to have it seem as if they are worthy of all my time. If they question that, they'll discover how disposable they are. His finger starts tapping again. While I don't doubt you're used to idiots following you about, I have more knowledge on this than you do. This is the part you leave to me. If he thinks she won't question him at every turn, he's the idiot she constantly seems to have about her. Don't threaten any of them specifically with making them leave the group. It's too early to be sure they'll all choose you. He continues staring at her, and she can't tell if that had been his plan, or he's judging her for thinking it. She brushes her hand down the leg of her trousers. He taps. She checks her watch. He folds his hands at the edge of the table. She takes a deep breath. He exhales. Well, since we have extra time, we should do a bit of extraction. We weren't going to collect these until tomorrow, but it's a waste of time to just sit here. She pulls her briefcase towards her, opening it as his hands drop to his lap. Memory extraction? Yes, you'll do it yourself. She would do it herself, but she isn't capable.
Ooh.
Hermione, not capable?
Also, like, legitimacy on yourself. Weird.
Can you do that?
I guess you can, I suppose. No, no, do you remember Dumbledore extracts his memories?
Of course.
But I don't know, the idea of Malfoy willingly do, I guess he's not willing, is he? But yeah.
Don't say yo. Get out of here.
Yeet.
Oh my god.
What?
Who is this old woman that I'm broadcasting with?
No capping.
No capping. Whap. A legitimans would look through his memories in a few days to be sure he'd shared everything, but he doesn't have to know that. She'd rather see if he shares it all than warn him to. She sets up the tray at the centre of the table and drops an empty vial within each slot. The small pile of corks is placed at the end, and she keeps the parchment he'll sign after in her briefcase. She pulls the wand from the inside of her robe, and her hand hesitates in the air before she holds it to him. Her other hand drops to her hip, finger skating her holster. I will return them to the ministry after returning you to Azkaban tonight. He rolls the wand between his fingers, studying the empty vase before looking at her. Sometimes she feels like he's reading her mind, at the same time that he's preventing her from doing the same to him. And it takes all her effort to maintain eye contact. Which memories do you want? All of them.
Ooh. Hopefully there's some good stuff in there.
Well, yeah, juicy. Just like, but imagine, I always think when I, stuff like this, you must get a lot of memories that you just don't expect. Like
you taking a shit.
Literally him, like, yeah, on the toilet going, being like, on the loo.
Yeah.
And it's oh no.
Or just like, I guess my question is, do you think that when you're in somebody else's memories that you can kind of feel what they were thinking? Or do you think it's just like a recording of what's going on?
I think of it as a recording, I think. But sometimes, well, the thing is, in different stories, obviously fanfic, sometimes it's like, oh, I can feel the sadness watching this. Or it's just like, oh, I see it just as a videotape. So I guess it just depends on the author.
Yeah.
And what they want to use it for. What it's being used for is like a plot device. June 11th, 10:47 p.m. Hermione blinks at the map, and when nothing changes, she jumps to her feet. Her thighs slam against the edge of the table, sending her inkwell and quill to the ground. But all she registers is the silence outside. Ink splashes across the bottom of her trousers, and her shoes crunch in glass as she yanks a map out of her briefcase. She shakes it out, tapping it with her wand at the same time, and stretches her arms as far as they'll go. Malfoy's dot is in London. Muggle London. Just past the dotted line she had drawn to show the boundaries. She doesn't feel her heart at all, and then it's pounding in her chest and rushing all her blood in waves of adrenaline that leave her hand shaking.
I hope they take her to therapy in this book.
She needs to speak to someone, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She shoves all the maps and the apple she'd brought back to her briefcase.
An apple!
Oh, God. Then clears the mess she had left with a swirl and a twitch of her wrist. Wrapping it. Sorry, I just saw something that really made me laugh. Wrapping her wand on the top of her head, she closes her eyes against the feeling of cold glue crawling down her skin. Oh my God, she read your fanfic.
For anyone who didn't make it to the end of our last chapter, our last read,
Aisha spoke so much about goo.
Hey, and there was rapping, but mine was like, you know, like Skepta rapping.
Yeah.
Not like rapping.
So I think somehow Everyday Thursday / Sage has managed to
time travel into the
time
future.
Time travel and put Aisha's goo mentions in. Wow, that's impressive.
We love a goo mention. It's
why is there goo going down her skin? Sorry, I didn't even... Oh, who cares?
Well, I think... Has she knocked something over?
Goo? She said she's knocked over ink, but ink isn't goo. It's like thin.
Maybe it's gloopy-ass ink, because she's in this shack, and it's all just congealing. Man,
yeah, that must be it. That must be it. You know your goo, I suppose.
I do. I don't, for anyone who wants to say, I'm sorry.
We just call her Mrs. Goo.
I've never owned it in my life.
Good.
But other, I mean, people do, whatever.
To each their own.
Yeah. To each.
To each their goo. He can't be escaping. If he was, he wouldn't just go to London. He may not know that she can see him constantly on maps, but he still wouldn't contact someone this way. There must be a plan he didn't let her in on, or something has happened to bring him there.
He so does know that she can see him all the time
on
the map.
Yeah, surely. I thought she
told him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she said that.
Okay.
She almost goes to the ministry, but they'll have fewer answers than her.
God, it's all a mess.
So it's just like the goo. So instead, she remembers the alley of a cafe she sometimes gets lunch at when she doesn't want to be surrounded by wands anymore. She appears in the dark a second later and rushes out to the near empty pavement. There's a group of three men laughing at one another as they approach her, and Hermione waves her hand frantically. Then again, just to be sure, but she has to jump out of their way when they try to walk through her. She takes a second to remember the direction Malfoy had been headed in, and then she's running. The people she passes are no doubt curious as to what the strange tapping noise is, but she'll worry about that when she finds him or them. There is not a single good thing that can come out of them being in the Muggle world, and she tries to stop the swirling of possibilities in her mind before she launches into full panic. She sees a mass moving up ahead, all black and blue with hoods drawn up over their heads. They're moving around the other people on the pavement as much as the Muggles are moving around them, avoiding eye contact. Hermione flies across the street, narrowly missing a car, and doesn't slow until she's a few yards behind them.
Ooh.
Her breathing is ragged, burning its way into her lungs. She takes slow, deep, even breaths in case they can hear the panting, but there's no hope in slowing down her heartbeat yet. Two beads of sweat are racing down her cheek from her temple, and the stray hairs that had escaped her bun throughout the day are sticking to the wetness at her nape. She speeds up her steps when she's positive her body isn't about to take over control and force her to heave in oxygen. Her wand feels flimsy and small in her hand as she counts over the rope hoods, spotting 14. There are three that bob over the top of the others, and she knows one must be Malfoy. One against 14 if they see her. One against 14.
Hey, it might be one against... two against 13.
Yeah, well, there we go. The odds are slightly more in your favour, I suppose.
Hey, Malfoy's scary. I think he could do well in a fight, maybe. Yeah.
He's scary in this. Her stomach twists, her chest feeling heavy and clogged, and she squeezes her wand. Squeezes it until she can feel the magic pulsing in her blood and against her skin. And it stops feeling like it's anything close to small. In it. Hermione steps carefully, her breath slow and silent. Like muggle auras and hit wizards. What are they going to do? Stop us from leaving? Cursing them? A low murmur of laughter and grins that flash white under lampposts. The ministry, Hermione's head jerks towards the sound of Malfoy's voice, will know it's magic. So? So, some of you have the trace, only Scots, in the ministry system. If they believe it was magic, the ministry will investigate and they'll link it back to half of us. Malfoy must know this is true no matter what they're planning, and she wonders what it is he's trying to stop or change. Damn, one of them mutters. Why don't the ones of us not in the system do it then? I'm not just standing there like, we have to do it though. Yeah, I didn't just contaminate myself with muggle scum to not set some of them on fire.
Oof.
Hermione's eyes widen and her guts twist harder. We're not leaving this cesspool without doing it, says one of them. And agreement swells in the voices in front of her. That one, right there. It's full of people. We'll just put the whole place on fire. There's no way they'll make it out. How are we going to do it so they don't know it's magic? Asks someone. I'm having a part in it.
Babes, it's just a fire. Find a match.
Just toss a match in and you're done. We'll start a fire in an empty building and then set the side of the one next to it that has the filth in it, Malfoy says. Certain fire spells will have the full one up in flames in seconds. Now, not all of them are going to escape. The muggles will think it just started the empty building, so no one noticed, and no one will think it's a magic.
Ooh, Malfoy!
Jesus Christ. That's good. That's really good. We'll have to leave right away, before they see us outside, and tell the muggle lore they saw a dozen people in robes. Ah, what about disillusionment? I want to watch. Watching is half the point. Watching isn't the point, Malfoy snaps. It's killing them that's the point. And until we're in control of the ministry to make that legal, we can't get caught so we can keep doing it. Hermione stops, her heart thundering in her throat, and tries to swallow down the need to vomit. She turns, walking quickly, and when they're far enough away, she runs. She dodges around three groups of people, but only a beggar in front of a record shop seems to notice the pounding of her shoes. She turns sharply into an alley, darting into the dark, and then she's across the street from Harry's house with a crack. She can feel the tingle of his wards when she sprints for the door, passing over her skin like a light breeze ahead of a lightning storm, barely noticeable, but alive with energy. She has to catch herself with a palm against the door to slow the race of her legs, and she thunks loudly against it. She glances over at the dark muggle houses as she draws her hand back and into a fist, banging onto the door.
I'm sorry I'm being really quiet. I'm actually getting quite into it now.
No, it's sped up. The pace is good.
Woohoo! Also, he seems pretty evil.
He does. Surely this is just a play. This is just a ploy, right?
Or is it a ploy within a ploy within a ploy? Back to the ploy.
I have a feeling that she's going to be like, get him, Malfoy. Like, let's get Malfoy. And then he's going to be like, no, it was part of my plan.
Or do you think they'll just watch? And then she'll be like, how could you? And he'll be like, I evacuated the building.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
I don't know.
You're getting ahead of me.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm sorry. Okay, so if I'm quiet, yeah. So
that's okay.
I am here.
Okay.
I'll just be my breathing over the microphone.
She feels like she is in one of those horror films where the time is the killer. And no matter how far she runs, to how slowly it walks, it will always catch up to her, take from her, and then leave her. She bangs harder, the door shaking under her numbing fist, and then the seventh slam hits air. She, like, punches Harry straight in the face because the door opens.
Could you imagine?
Ow!
Oh, my God, it makes me think of when she puts the stinging curse on him in...
He looks like that.
That was so funny. But also, that was so stupid. They were like, no, Death's not Harry Potter. So I was stupid. Like, are you blind?
You can see his scar.
I love it when Malfoy basically was just like,
don't know him, sorry.
Yeah.
Hermione half raises her hand towards her eyes in the light.
Punching
Harry square in the face. Oh, sorry, Harry, I didn't realise. Squinting at Harry as he glares at her head and lowers his chin to his chest. He's standing in his shorts, his wand held firmly in his right hand, and the side of his foot against the door like he's waking to kick it shut again. He doesn't move, and she recognises the expression on his face before she even realises that she does, because it makes her throat go dry and her hands start shaking again. It isn't until then, when she sees the look Hugh sometimes still gives the dark of night or a shadow of a tree in a room, that she remembers the spell. She wraps her wand on the top of her head and heaves out his name through the hurricane of her breathing. He rearranges into a different shape of rigidity, and his hand clasps her sweaty arm to tug her inside the house. Are you all right? The door slams shut. What happened? Did he... Get the guards. They're starting a fire in Muggle London. Now... He doesn't wait for an answer. Flashing out of the room as Hermione's gaze settles on Ginny.
Yay!
Hey, Ginny!
This is our first glimpse of Ginny.
Woohoo! What's happened? Hermione thinks appearing at the house in the middle of the night, sweating and out of breath while yelling about a fire, makes a little too late for nonchalance. It's ministry work. Ginny's eyes narrow, and Hermione might have winced had it been a different situation. I see.
Oh, she could tell Ginny. That's a bit deep. Okay, whatever.
There's no danger, not to us. Because she knows how it feels to be afraid of what Harry Potter is leaving to face. Do you need help? We've got it, Gin, thanks. It sounds a bit hollow, but Gin nearly nods as Hermione passes her. Where in Muggle London? Pruitt asks, his voice faint down from down the hall. But she can still hear the urgency that reflects back from her chest. Her feet skid in front of the doorway as she comes to a stop, and all three men look over at her. Leech just emerging from the fireplace. Oh god, it's a party up in here.
I didn't think I realised how like close to pre-war this is set.
Yeah.
Do you know pre-war. What I mean? As in, like, it feels... When they said the Dark Revival, I guess I was thinking more of, like, being at the very beginning of trying to start a resurgence. But this feels like it did just before, like, the Wizarding War started. Because it sounds like they're all in the safe house, right?
It does a bit, yeah.
I don't know. Oof.
I'll apparatus.
Still getting serious.
I know. I'll apparatus to the place they last were. It can't be far from there, if they've chosen a place yet. Hermione casts the disillusionment charm on herself right after Harry and Leech disappear, and Pruitt fades as he grabs a handful of flu powder from the mantle. Leaky, she tells him. It's crowded, and the sound of the apparition will be obvious, but it's the only place she knows is still open. And that they can apparate from directly. Pruitt throws the powder in, and she shoves into the fireplace in a bump and press of body parts that she can't see. Her nails dig into her palms to prevent from shoving her hands out to get them away from her. The pressure builds in her chest until she thinks it's close to exploding.
So is mine, mate. My heart right now. I'm like, what is going on?
But then she realises that she's not breathing. She doesn't even feel like she has room to breathe, this trap between them all that she is. Someone grabs her arm as rooms flash by in a blur, and another hand lands on her shoulder. She reaches out to find a searching hand as they stop at the leaky cauldron in a flash of green that clenches her heart. They take one collective step in from the fireplace, the faces of the curious turning into the confused, and then they're gone. I don't understand what just happened.
They're going... So they went to the... So she ended up in the leaky cauldron, I guess. So they
really crowded. They used
flu powder to get there, yeah, and then I guess they're like moving through it to get into Muggle London.
Okay.
So people are like, "Why the fuck are they running?"
Yeah,
and they're like, "Ah, fire."
Okay, thank you. She's moving forward as soon as her feet are on steady ground. Nausea burning the bottom of her throat. It only intensifies when she sees the flames down the street, the rotation of lights, and hears the drone of high pressured water.
Oh my god!
No, no. She hadn't been quick enough. There's no way she could have been. They'd only travelled past maybe 15 shops before finding the one they wanted. Had Malfoy tried to stop them at all? She can see the stretchers moving across the pavement and wonders if they had gone against the suggestion or if he had changed his mind himself. Around the back, Harry says. She turns into an alley, then makes a right at the end, heading back towards the fire. Rats scamper in the dark, moving in the opposite direction, and Hermione pushes into someone when she tries to avoid stepping on the one running past her feet. Two buildings are in flames, and half the ceiling on the first has collapsed into the second story. The red, purple, and blue of extinguishing spells disappear in the bright gold of the fire, and she can see it draw back as she casts again. She only hopes that everyone is out of both buildings, and that no one is too badly injured. It's her responsibility, and while she can't prevent everything, this doesn't have to be like this. She doesn't know if she should blame herself or Malfoy for that, but it's him she's cursing in her head. These aren't going out, Pruitt says, his voice just high enough to be heard by them over the yelling, hoses, and crackling. Don't let it be, Fiendfire. Don't let it be. Hermione steps back and sways further when the heat rises even more, prickling painfully against her skin. Someone put a flame freezer on it. Then how did the flames reach the other building? She asks, but no one answers, because it must seem obvious. She couldn't have taken so much time that the other fire on the first building managed to get past the flame-freezing charm and to the second. Maybe Malfoy isn't as in control as he thinks he is. Or maybe they found him out. Hermione moves to the back of the second building, clearing her mind, and casts in rapid succession. Oof.
Oh, this is feeling interesting.
Yeah. I wonder what's happened. Oh, okay, I'm going to carry on here. June 12th, 2:08 a.m. Malfoy steps into the room as if he fully expects the group that is waiting for him. She is distantly pleased by this, because he understands how easily they'll know if he steps past the line, and because they didn't fail to prove it to him. Do you mind explaining what you were thinking, or is this stupidity? The door clicks shut behind him, and he straightens to his full height. What I was thinking? It wasn't my plan. Yet you're the one in control. You're the leader. You said so, you're... They were already on the move when I got to Lynch tonight. Trying to stop them would have only made them suspicious. I've been with them less than a week. When I suggested we plan for something bigger, they said we could do both. What? You could have thought of something. Instead of leading them into Muggle world, setting a building on fire and injuring 5 people, she yells. Malfoy's eyes narrow, darker in the low-burning candles. My contract states that I will not take responsibility for injuries to any person, unless they die. If the injuries were acquired due to the actions of others I was with, me proving myself, or otherwise was incapable of stopping about a large risk or revealing the assignment or my position as a spy. And I convinced them to change it to an empty building. And And I cast a flame-freezing charm on my own flames. I convinced them to change it to an empty building, and I cast a flame-freezing charm on my own flames. The fire that was set to the occupied building was by someone else, and after everyone was finished, so I was incapable of freezing the flames. Furthermore, I apparated here to yell the location of the fire before immediately apparating to Lynch, which was the most I could do without risking the assignment. She hadn't known he had done that. Malfoy, Harry starts, I am well within my contract to not take responsibility for any injuries obtained tonight. And if the Ministry... Malfoy, we're not trying to sentence you here, Harry says, and the intensity of Malfoy's gaze stops pinning her to the spot in the middle of the kitchen when he lifts it over her head. This is a failure of communication, and a problem that we didn't foresee. We foresaw it, Leecha says. We just thought we would be dealing with a group that planned, like the higher circle. We would usually know when things like this were going to happen before the night it does. Harry releases a long exhale through his nose, and Hermione meets his eyes. She's still angry. It's burning at the top of her stomach and in her temples. But she's more deflated now than she had been before. Malfoy walked in and explained himself. And she knows she's going to have to do this a lot. That he's going to walk through a door a dozen times or more and tell her about a person he cursed or a family he tortured or whatever else the revival made him do.
It's sad though, because they're also kind of making him do it.
Yeah, it's true. I think
it's a bit of a...
It's a bit tragic. He can't escape this.
But also the fact that they're all really paranoid, but also literally that's what they've asked him to do.
Yeah, exactly. They're
like, oh my god, he's a murderer. Also, they you need must to do Cruciatus if they ask you to. Like, okay.
Needs to be some trust.
Mm.
Those aren't things she can control, though. it's Malfoy or it's another Death Eater. And if it's Malfoy, it means they're a step closer to stopping all of it. She has to accept that. But this fire, these people, could have been different. It should have been. He could have told them he had some idea they had to work on tonight because it was happening tomorrow. He could have told them something that gave her enough time. Or they would have just said they had enough time tonight for both, which left her with none, again. Malfoy's glaring at her when she turns her head back to fully look at him, and her fingers twitch at her side when she glares back. Wand, Leecher says, holding his hand out. Malfoy, get changed. Hermione, escort him back to Azkaban, do the interview, and get the memories. Harry checks his watch with a wince and then pushes his glasses up with the back of his hand. Meeting at the Ministry in 4 hours. 6:22 a.m. There's a lot of dialogue here, which is like a lot of cut-off, so it might sound a bit funky on the podcast, but just trust us. There were a series of issues. I'm not sending her in when they're... That's not your decision. It is, my gentleman. Since the beginning, she stays in Rome. Missions fail when new situations aren't adjusted. I'll do it, Hermione says, hand clenched around her knees. Silence falls for a single beat of her heart. You can't... I formally request... Harry looks away from her. Her... Granger is already involved. Harry, I... This group, Kingsley says loudly, drawing all of their attention, is...
Yay, Kingsley!
Woo! Someone please take charge. ...is radical and reckless. They're young and have no concept of war or strategy. Their goal is to attack, with no mission beyond gaining notice, destroying things and hurting people. They're unpredictable and willing, and so dangerous. Bells is not in a position to stop them without raising suspicion, and he'll always be watched too closely for a communication device. It's not like he can use the toilet every time he needs to write all the information down a communication tablet and then wait for orders. Pruitt shakes his head. These
Maybe
attacks...
He could. Great. Just pop into the loo. No suspicion here.
Back in a moment, chaps. You carry on torturing. These attacks from this group are always going to be spontaneous. The smart thing to do is to get someone else in there that will be able to contact the Ministry. Aren't under as much scrutiny, might be able to prevent the worst from happening, and can leave before the group gets the right attention from the higher circle. No one else is staying in when they get there, Harry says, and in a way that one would expect him to draw his wand when they should they disagree. The higher circle wouldn't trust anyone else with anything anyway. Pruitt tilts his head, which is the whole reason we need Bells in the first place. He's the only chance we have to really infiltrate as high as we need to go. Anyone could have dealt with these kids, but it would have been a stepping stone for anyone else. At least the recklessness of the group will help get the attention. It will make the higher circle question Bells' ability to lead, Leecher says. He can claim it was to get the attention of other people interested in joining, Hermione shrugs, and then have a plan ready to show them for what he wanted to do once he had his own army. Oof. We're going to have to be on them constantly, covering things up, preventing injuries and deaths, counter-planning. Having another person with the ability to contact us, assist our goals while there, and the fact that it would be better to have someone else there at this stage is unquestioned. The actions and mentality of the group, along with the close encounter of losing Muggle lives, has proved that. The question is, who? I've already off, Harry starts. I'll do it, Hermione says again. I'm a skilled witch who thinks quickly on her feet, and I'm already heavily involved in the assignment. In this group, I can keep an eye on Bells and perform my duties as easily as I could in Rome. I may not be an Aura or trained to be one, but I've had more than enough experience in duels and fighting. I'd rather be there with the ability to do what is necessary than be in Rome and waiting for someone to tell me what needs to be done. She looks over at Harry as he opens his mouth. I'm doing it. End of chapter 3.
Whoa!
Oof, that was a big one.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Exhausted, but I do think we made some good progress there.
Me too.
The action with the fire, like, that was good.
Yeah, it definitely started out a little slow, but that last half or so really picked up. I think that it's pretty exciting that at least Hermione's going to be in now. So I think hopefully we'll just get more action.
I feel like we're really starting to get into it now. I think the plot's starting to thicken a bit more.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It felt more, as much as we like made jokes and stuff here and there, mm-hmm. It did feel more enjoyable to read this time than like the first couple chapters did. It's still very long, of course, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, very, very long. But like, I enjoyed that little twist of events. I also think it's really interesting that he's like going to have to actively kill and hurt, I guess.
Yeah.
In all of these Dramione fictions, he tends to be pretty much fully reformed or still bad but regretful. Like, so you don't really see him like hurting people that often. I mean, she says after having
even
read Manacled Walls.
Even in flashbacks of like his time in the war, still then it's not really, it's him doing stuff like that he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So it is definitely interesting. It is quite sad, like you were saying, because like in a way it's like, would it just be better for him to be in prison and not harming anyone anymore rather than like having to continue to do stuff? Because like his whole thing about being on a Death Eaters was how he kind of just did it to like protect his family and stuff like that. Like he was like a kid being offered like a really impossible choice.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's kind of back there now, and I feel a bit bad for him.
For sure. Well, also, like, we know that Lucius is in Azkaban, I think it mentioned. Where's Narcissa at? Mm. So many questions.
I'm hoping we'll find out some more. And I like finding out about family.
Yeah, and Hermione, the idea of Hermione going in, I'm assuming that she's going to take Polyjuice or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's going to be so interesting.
Yeah, that would be really good. I'm looking forward to that.
I wonder what she's going to have to do, though.
Yeah, that's
this
the thing.
Is going to be dark.
Well, yeah, this is turning dark. Will she have to do things like that? And will she be able to if the time comes? That's the question.
That's that thing with that last paragraph where she's like, yeah, I'm a capable witch who thinks really quickly on her feet. And I'm like, thus far in this book, hasn't felt like you thought quickly at all.
I was thinking the exact same way. She's obviously she's obviously affected by PTSD. That is not her fault.
No.
However, I don't know if she'll be able to do the things that like Draco has to do. And that's not me being like, because she's not as good as a witch or because she's weaker, because she's obviously affected by the war, understandably.
But then it's like, there's so many questions here in terms of her character. Like, why is she not working on the house elf stuff?
Yeah.
Like, why would you put yourself back in Azkaban? Is this just the only thing that she can kind of do now? Like, she's
it's
obviously
strange,
very affected.
I think you're totally right. And it's a Hermione that we've not got into before.
You know? It's a really like, it's a really new zone for us, which is really, it feels really bizarre because I feel like we're pretty well versed in Dramione.
Yeah, we don't really read the same stuff. Like, we've read a very wide selection of stuff, if I could, you know, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
So it is kind of strange.
Like, I feel like we've seen all the versions of her ever. I mean, apparently not.
No, well, there we go.
But yeah, it's really
every day's a school day.
What do you think is coming up? What do you think is going to happen? Any predictions?
So I think it's kind of just what we've said about her having to integrate into it, and maybe realizing that she's going to have to do some stuff and that maybe she can't do. It'll be interesting to see whether she does it or not. Like, whether when the moment comes, if they say to her, set this mobile place on fire or torch these people, whether she'll be able to be like, yes, and get through it, or be like, no, and then obviously don't reveal herself. So I think, I imagine, it, like, we'll get into her integration next. And I think that'll be really interesting.
For sure. And I want to figure out, like, how this is going to turn into a romance.
Yes, me too!
Okay, but I have just, I've just
You're
searched.
You're spoiling it for yourself.
No, but I just want to check. So I control F'd the word kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And it has come up. A whole bunch. So
okay.
We can, is it to with Hermione? Question mark. Because I can't, I don't, I'm
Hopefully
not going to check.
It's not like the Dementors kiss.
Can you imagine? And then they die.
And then everyone dies.
Oh, we'll have a Kylo Ren and Rabe moment where
they're
just
spoiler.
Like, love you, kiss, dies. I will flip a shit.
What did you think then? Well, like, what do you think is going to come up next?
Oh, I don't. I feel like we're gonna have a moment where she obviously infiltrates and she can't keep her mouth shut. I feel like she's. Do you know what I mean? I feel like she's gonna be a big like. Come on, guys. Let's not.
Come on,
let's
guys.
Not.
Teamwork. Let's let's kill these people together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, or she'll be like, "Do you know what we should do? Is just like really sit and think on this," and they'll all be like, "What the fuck?
No, let's do it now." She's like, no, please, let's wait. Yeah, totally.
And then I feel like she'll probably have a panic attack at some point, and Draco will have to like ease her out of it.
Yeah,
Maybe.
maybe. I can see something like that.
I think that the real fighting, like between the two of them too, is gonna start soon, because
Yeah.
now they're going to be in the field together all the time, so it's not just her, it's not going to be her just asking him questions and him being monosyllabic.
Yeah, they'll have no breaks from each other.
Yeah, so hopefully the claws come out, because that's
Yeah.
what we're here for.
It'll be interesting to really see how their relationship develops. Because I just can't see it right now. But there's a thin line between love and hate.
There really is.
And maybe that line is torturing muggles. Who knows?
Oh my God.
That's a not nice thing to say.
That truly was this part, the part of this chapter that I was the most like was not expecting at
Me
all.
neither.
Like I was expecting, yeah, more of just a like a, oh, I sat at the back of this meeting and here's what I heard.
Yeah.
Not a like, if I set fire to people, you asked me to do it. Sorry.
I wanna watch it. I wanna watch these people in the fire. Oh, it was very strange.
This is the thing with like reading about evil people most of the time too. It's just like it's so, their hatred is so irrational to me, even when it's
Yeah.
fictional, that
Well,
I'm like,
it's like if you read stories about people, like extremist people or like people who are, I don't know, racist or xenophobic, and the things they say, and you're like this, and it sounds, you're like, that's so stupid. So I guess it's just like, because obviously to us it's like ridiculous. I mean,
for
also
sure.
these are fictional people, so it's like, of course it's ridiculous.
But like even so, like with that kind of stuff too, my only response is like, if you hate it that much, can't you all just go to an island and be hateful together?
Yeah, if
Problem
you
solved. No more
exactly.
muggles.
If you hate it that much, why are you thinking about it so much? Like, just get out of here. Just
Yeah,
get a
like
hobby.
why are you staying around muggles? Like just
Yeah.
hang out in the wizarding world.
But that's the thing. These people aren't irrational, are they? They're crazy.
That's true. I hope that they dig into that too. I hope he talks about his childhood a bit. I want there to be like,
Some more background information.
yeah, I want to
Yeah.
understand them like way better.
Yeah, especially since, like we were saying, this is a Draco and Hermione that we don't know, so it'd be interesting to see what Everyday Thursday slash Sage has, like what she sorry what they think of their backgrounds, the backgrounds of Hermione and Draco, and why they're like this.
Yeah, and I wonder if the way that they start like getting intimate is going to be a kind of hate sex vibe.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised at this rate.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much animosity.
I know, a bit, I think a bit too much in
Like a
my
lot,
opinion.
yeah.
Like, it's a bit, it's a, literally, he, she's literally like, he moves quickly. Oh, fucking bastard. I hate this man. I
But
hope
then
he
it's also,
dies.
that's true. But then it's also like, if we are going based off of the books and not the fan fiction world, that makes
Yes.
way more sense.
Yes.
Because there is not one moment in the books
That
that
she
they
likes
have
him.
that's nice. Yeah, like he is filthy and foul throughout the
He
whole
is, yeah.
thing. And fan fiction has transformed him into someone that most of us love, like a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
I
I
agree.
wish we had the dates for when she, like, or they respectively wrote these books. It'd be
I
so
know, me too.
interesting. Also, I was wondering if this has more spelling mistakes and whatever, because it's on somebody's Google Drive, so it might not be like the
It
final
might not
edited
be,
copy.
yeah, it might not be what Everyday Thursday slash Sage intended, but what someone else typed up.
Yeah, or like
Well,
just saved but then didn't get the final version, because they
yeah.
have another piece of work called the Malfoy Diaries, which
Oh.
apparently is only three chapters and is apparently like
Oh, damn,
so good.
we should have read
N
that.
no no one can find it.
Oh.
It has been wiped off the internet. Not even the people who have saved stuff to their Google Drives have
Oh,
it.
shit.
And I keep seeing loads of people trying to find it.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I'm like, I wonder what that would have been.
That'd be so
Because
good.
Everyday Thursday doesn't write from the perspective of Malfoy, or at least
No.
not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting too. But yeah, how many flames would you give that one out of 10?
I would give it a 5
Mm-hmm.
because I'm still a bit apprehensive, but I am gathering a bit more excitement for it. What about you?
Me too, bang in the middle.
Yeah.
I think that there was really a turn there where I was suddenly like, oh, I'm getting quite engaged.
We weren't just stopping and like kind of making comments going on tangents. We actually got like, yeah, engaged is a good word for it.
Yeah, because it started to just like, that was pacey stuff, right? It's
Yeah.
just like,
Thank God.
yeah, thank God.
But
I do think that perhaps like reading it out loud makes it seem longer.
Yes, I agree.
But Jojo and I have kind of had a little chat and agreed that we might have an edit through of the next chapters, just because this definitely hasn't been beta read. So there are some spelling errors and syntax errors.
It just makes it difficult to read.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, where there are sentences that end up being three lines long and not making a lot of sense, we might just cut them.
Yes. But of course, we'll be careful. And, like,
yeah. And we won't change the writing.
Exactly. Because it's obviously, this is Everyday Thursday's totally. Sage's story, and we're not trying to encroach on that.
Yeah, no disrespect to Sage, just, like, for the ease of reading. We would ask for their permission, but they have literally disappeared off the internet, so it's really difficult with that one.
If they hear this, please get in contact. Can you imagine? Yeah.
Oh my god, I would die. I'm very sorry if you find it offensive.
we would stop immediately, of course.
Yeah, we love your writing. We love the fallout.
Yeah, the fallout. Oh my god, it's so good.
So good.
Right, before we go on another tangent, I think we should wrap this up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we should probably get going.
Otherwise, this is going to be so long for you to edit.
Yeah.
You poor soul.
Sage, if you want to get in contact with us or anyone else, we're the fanafictionpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, Aisha's just desperate for someone to email us. I might email us just so Aisha can have an email to read.
Because we can see all of you and where you're from. Don't feel creeped out. So
just no, like generic, like countries, not anywhere specific, don't worry.
Because there's quite a few. I know. It's quite exciting.
But we hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you guys are like getting into it as we are. And and we'll be back. We'll probably be back for another episode of this, which is like cray. I am definitely getting into it, so I'd be up for that.
Yeah, for sure. Again, though, we make no promises as to finishing the book. We're just going to do this chapter by chapter.
Yeah, because this is just us being, like, having a good time together. So, yeah. All right, Aisha, do you want to lead us out?
Yeah, this has been Aisha and Jojo, two fans afflicted by Dramione and also afflicted by PTSD that both of them seem to be respectively suffering with.
Yeah. Yay!
Woo! Yeah, we hope you enjoyed this week. Thanks for listening and being here. It's like cool to see people engaging with it a little.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's
hopefully
all.
Hopefully see you again next week.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.